rank it up once more. Welcome back to another episode of Michael's Motor Island, powered by Pennzoil, where motor oil is in motion. From the track to the road, Pennzoil is the most trusted motor oil brand in America and the official motor oil of the NTT IndyCar Series. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Michael's Motor Alley, powered by Pennzoil, where motor oil is in motion. Everyone out there, we got something hot and heavy going on this episode. We're going to be talking with the president of the Canadian Snowcross Racing Association up north, where everything is cool, calm, and collective. Let me get on board here, Ken Avan, if I said it correctly. Avan,
yes, sure.
Thank you so much, everyone. Get ready. We got some good stuff to talk about. Ken, thank you for being on board today. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to our little discussion here.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm glad to have you on board here. And I must tell everyone, Pennzoil is the official motor oil for the Canadian Snowcross Racing Association. I'm telling you, got the good stuff behind them, so to speak. Well, what we're going to do, we got to talk to Ken, because Ken has been the president of this organization going on 31 years and talking about the experience in motorsports. He's the man, and we're going to get started because this is exciting. I tell you, I've been keeping up with this for a little while, and it's unbelievable. Ken, welcome aboard. How did we get started? How did we get started in this, Ken? Just right off the top. Yes.
So you want me to chat a little bit about just the start of the circuit and move forward?
Yes,
from there?
Okay. Sure. Yeah, let's do that. And then we're gonna get a part of that there. Then we're gonna talk about how you got involved with this too.
Okay, sure. Well, Michael, I've been involved for motorsports racing since I was 16. I started racing sleds, and we ran on back then on the oval racing circuits.
Yes.
I'm all over Canada and the United States, you know, and so after 20 years of zipping around on the ovals and a few championships, I was also a motocross racer, and I had a lot of interest in the snowmobile racing format was changing from oval to snowcross, simply
yes.
because it related, kind of related more to what was being sold to the public. than the oval races, because the machines were more like trail sleds with suspension systems, and
yes.
The technology was advancing fast. So I kind of gravitated towards that and started pushing towards a snowcross, but there was none of that taking place in Canada yet. I was coming over from Europe to the United States, and then
really?
I started the circuit in Canada. Yeah, so spectacular sport, lots of color, lots of action. All the manufacturers were involved with factory racing teams when we started up. You know, it was really big and exciting, and everything was developing, the new IFS suspension systems and all the everything that was being adapted from car racing to snowmobiles as far as suspension
Whoa.
Systems and motocross and that. So yeah, lots of a lot of exciting technology taking place at the start.
Oh my goodness. Let me ask you this, Ken. And you mentioned motocross as well as snowmobile is is your organization combined with both in your series?
No, our organization specializes specifically in snowmobiles and side-by-side UTVs. We're dabbling in that right now. But
yes.
our competitors do a lot of, most of them compete in motocross in the off-season, snowcross in the winter. This is
yes.
like almost like a training program for them, keeping them, it's a very physical sport. They're very similar sports in the fact that they're throwing the machines around and flying them 120 feet through the air and all that crazy stuff. You know, it's a young man's sport. You and I wouldn't want to be doing that. But, it's a really spectacular sport. Spectators love it. The young racers love it. And it's pretty cool. The sponsorship is great for the sport. And it relates directly to what is being sold to the consumer. So the manufacturers, the OEMs are really
yes.
excited to you know, to be dabbling in it. And when they pull off a win, it translates to, ride what you win kind of thing for the manufacturers.
Yes. Hey, Ken, how do one get started? Do young people start when they're super young if they want to get involved?
Yeah.
And get
Yeah, you know, we have 22 racing classes of competition, and the kids start as young as 4 years of age.
So what? On a snowmobile, Ken?
Yeah, the manufacturers build these mini snowmobiles, 120cc. They're like 10 horsepower or so, then 200cc is the next step up. They're a bit more horsepower, and so the kids start racing on those, and they're some of our biggest classes. You know, we have a few hundred kids that are involved in racing these little sleds, so it wow. creates a great base of competitors. And then then the classes go to novices, and then juniors, and then the teenager group, and then
all the way up to
adult classes.
Yes. Wow, that is something that you have classes. I'm here buzzing over this. Starting that young and getting the experience, and then as they get older, they're even better and better. Top speed now. I'm here thinking about it as they get older and older. Top speed for like the smaller snowmobiles, all the way up to when they.
That's a great question. So obviously, safety has to be a number one priority, especially when you're dealing with the kids, you know. And so these little kids, they just want to go. They only know one thing, and that is to hold the throttle to the handlebars.
Yes.
So we do have the speeds restricted by radar, and we keep them in check by doing that. So with the real little kids in the 120cc classes, we there's two classes, a younger and an older group. The older group starts at 7. But anyhow, the youngest group is restricted to 12 miles an hour. So they're not that fast. And then as they go up, they'll go to an 18 mile an hour class or 15 mile an hour class. And then when they jump onto the 200cc sleds, they go up to it's not restricted by speed, just restricted by tech and making sure the machines are stock so that it's a fair class for all the participants. So, so that's how that works. And it keeps the kids really safe, and they have to wear all the special stuff. They have to have a ECE 22.05 safety certified helmets and the chest vests and all the proper boots, the proper eyewear. They have to have all the safety stuff. So if they do happen to fall off and they get bumped by another sled or something, it's not high speed, but it just keeps the bruises down to a minimum. And very seldom we ever have a situation with the children. They're all gung-ho to go. They're all excited all the time. You know, their eyes are like huge. They're just so pumped up to go.
Think about it.
We give them nice medals and awards for winning or participating. And they take them to school and show them off and show and tell and all that kind of stuff. So it gets other kids involved. So it's a great setup.
That is amazing. I'm here thinking here in the States, because of course I'm down here in good old Texas, where we're not going to see any of the snow like you guys have up there. But I'm definitely aware of the ISAC series that we have, and usually guess most of those are less mainly in the northern states, like I think you mentioned, like Minnesota and something like that, the states where they get plenty of snow.
They're spread out on the 7 northern states, so to speak, where they have a great race circuit, a great organization, and we run under the same rules as they do. So we run under international rules, so if one of our racers crosses over to the U.S. to race, or they come here, Everything mixes nice. It's all the same. So they have the classes for the kids there as well, but they really specialize more in the big pro show. They're traveling right across the USA, and the average family can't do that. So that's more for the big factory teams. But they do have a real healthy kids program as well, which keeps the racers coming in.
Yes, I'm telling you, that's exciting. I'm just curious. Gasoline and like you said, we're going to jump into the pro ones. Are these guys using like some of the special gasolines, like some of our race cars use a special mixture?
Yes. No, so they're using they have to use commercially available fuel. They can't be mixed on their own.
Okay.
But they do use racing fuel, the same as a NASCAR NASCAR guys do. So we can dip into the race fuel. And we can dip into the sled to make sure the fuel is the same, because you want to keep the performance, the aspect of the racing fuel and the performance of the engine the same, so it's fair for everybody. Just like the car racing program do. So we have a spec fuel.
Oh, gotcha. Just wondering, because you know how today in different races and even some of our kids on the streets here, they're going to pump some good old nitrous, different things, you know.
So yeah.
How fast, top, you know, and for some of our audience out here, they, you know, a bunch of gearheads, what's the top speed on the pro level of those snowmobiles?
We build so much terrain into the race course that it's tough for them to get really high speed.
Gotcha.
For example, they'll be jumping sometimes 30, 40 feet high in the air and 120, 140 feet in distance, like a motocross bike. So it's, if you watch AMA Supercross, the speeds aren't really that high, but the racing is extreme because of the physicality and the dynamics of the machine, the aerial displays that are going on when these sleds are in the air and the snow flying, or in dirt bike case, the dirt flying. And these guys side by side in the air that high, you know, it's really spectacular to watch. So the speeds aren't that great. The sleds will do well over 100 miles an hour if you on a straightaway, but on a race course, they're likely going to do a maximum of maybe 45 to 50 miles an hour. But that is like severe rough terrain. Like we're talking 10, 15, 20 foot moguls, something that you're going to have a tough time even walking through, let alone driving something through it.
Oh my goodness. Let me ask you, Ken, that's good stuff. Hey, Ken, let me ask you this. Okay, the series up in Canada, how many races pretty much you guys do a year with the circuit that you have?
We try to schedule around 8 to 10 weekends of racing.
Yes.
They would all be double header weekends, two or three complete days of racing in a weekend, so to speak. So say there was 8 races, it would actually be 16 rounds of competition for the pros and the kids. By having the double headers or the triple weekend races, some of them. So they get lots of riding time in. I think most car racing programs and motocross, a lot of them are a single day race per class, so to speak. Where our guys will race, like a pro will race on a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday. So by the time the weekend's done, they've taken a beating, you know, and they're walking pretty funny the next day. It's been very physical for them. But that's just the way we need to do it because of the compressed time frame we have to run the circuit. We have a 12 to 14 week winter where we've got the temperatures and the snow to actually, you know, make the circuit happen. So we have to kind of compress everything within that time frame.
Oh, my goodness. That is something. I tell you. Hey, Ken, let me ask you this when it comes to technology and snowmobiles, because you have been on the scene for a couple of generations now. And I know you mentioned earlier in the conversation about suspension. I would think just like in motorsports, automotive and all that, things have changed by leaps and bounds when it comes to technology and snowmobiles. Can you throw a little information at us, like back in the day when you started and now, how things have somewhat changed
technology? So when we started, you know, the sleds at that time probably had 6 to 8 inches of suspension travel, and it wasn't very well controlled suspension travel. And things developed, the shocks got better, you know, Fox shocks and everything. These companies, Walker Evans, all these big shock companies are fully engaged in the snowcross racing sport. So they've got all the automatic electronic shocks now. You can adjust them on the fly. All this stuff is going on, very similar to what you'd have in off-road truck racing or in the top of the line UTVs, where you can, you know, or a car where you can adjust the suspension by dialing it in or electronically just touching a button. So that's kind of what it's gotten down to with the sleds now as well. These guys, like I said, they pound off these jumps and moguls where at the, you know, way back when in 15, 20 years ago, if you did that, you'd break the sled in half or you would just end over end. Where now these guys can go through these crazy rough terrain sections full throttle, and very seldom you ever see a machine break. It just doesn't happen anymore. They're so durable and reliable.
It's
so good that it handles it, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. You know what, Ken? It is amazing because I have looked at
lots of great development going on.
Yes, Ken, it is amazing that because I've watched so much footage, especially, and like you said, the snowmobiles from 30 years ago on how the guys would land and suspension, and now it's like night and day. It's like night and day on how
it really is, you know. And we used to run the big 800 cc mod sleds, and now the ISR, the international sanction body, restricts the cc limit to 600 cc's for snowcross racing. Wow. Because the sleds were getting so crazy fast that now they've gotten limited to 600 cc, and with these suspension systems, they're actually putting in much faster lap times now than they were back when they were running the 800 mods, because they just work so well, they corner so well, they accelerate so hard. Tracks are much better. The track that drives them, everything is just fabulous now. The way everything works, the traction products from like Studboy and Woody's and skis, everything just develops so much that it just works like, you know.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And again, that blows me away on technology on snowmobiles. Now it's unbelievable. One more thing I want to ask, because I think you said it, but because I'm one of these guys who's just curious, because again, I've never been on a snowmobile. but it sure enough looks fun. I'd say, hey, I've just been hanging loose, four speed, shifting gears, all that good stuff. But Ken, you mentioned something about the track part of it, because I guess we call it tracks, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not. Okay. Back in the day, I always like to go back in the years with you, because you definitely been on them riding loose there. The tracks back then, were they like pretty much all metal or something? And I guess in like today's tracks, big difference.
Yes, way back on the oval racing days, for the high speed snow pro type stuff, they would use a metal cleated track, whereas a metal cleat would run all the way across the 15 inch width of the track.
Yes.
And they'd be studded with 400 pencil point type sharp studs for racing on Galera.
Yes.
When you move to snowcross, everything goes to more of a rubber track, more like a knobby tire on a bike, so to speak. But now we're looking at a 15 inch track with paddles on it, like a paddle track, so to speak. And the length of the knobs is like 1¾ inches. To 1.5 to 1¾ inches, and there'll be traction products mixed in with those, with the lugs, to provide traction if they hit ice, and that type of thing in the corner and stopping. So the traction is you can be on snow and hammer the throttle down, and that thing will sit right up on its rear end and just hook up as if it was on a car on pavement. It's just the acceleration is tremendous, and they're using a converter type clutching system. So they're like a never-ending gearing ratio, so to speak. So they accelerate really, really hard, really, really hard and fast out of the corners, and they stop and turn amazingly as well.
Wow, amazing. Again, like I tell people all the time, when it comes to technology, it could be in automotive, snowmobile, motorcycles. I'm amazed on how technology over the last couple of generations have changed by leaps and bounds for the best. Safety wise, it's much more safer now. So wow, my goodness. Hey Ken, let me ask you, for people who want to maybe connect with you in any way, where do they go to find you on our social media?
Well, for our snowcross program, our website is just snowcross.com. We go a snowcross with a W up here in Canada, snowcross.com. Yes. And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
You can see what's going on there with all the action and the videos on YouTube and everything else. Gives good indications of what's going on up here in Canada with the snowcross and the side-by-side winter racing programs. So. I wish everybody would take a look and see how exciting it is. And, we're truly blessed to have some amazing sponsors such as Pennzoil and FXR and some of these big sponsor, Snap-on Tools. We've got some great, you know, category leaders, so to speak, sponsoring our circuit. So really lucky to have these name brand sponsors involved with their amazing products. And same with the racers. They love having the opportunity to, now that Pennzoil's involved, to use their products because it's world class, and they know just from the name brand that it's going to be the best they can put in the machine. So they have that, you know, have that factor to protect their engines. It's great having these big companies involved with us. So I really appreciate their support.
Yes, Ken, you said definitely. It's all about sponsorship and pretty much partnership with companies that are heavily involved in motorsports. That's the way I look at it, because have Pennzoil has been around for over 100 years, so we definitely love to be part of exciting things, I tell you. Ken, well, I must tell you, because we could probably gab a little more on this, but you have enlightened me, and I hope you have enlightened a number of our people who like to listen, because again, this is high performance on snow. Excuse me, I was going to say on ice, but it could be a mixture of both. But Ken,
yes, absolutely.
Yes. So, well, Ken.
Well, yeah. Thank you too for reaching out to us and helping us to spread the word about the sport and across the U.S. and here in Canada. It's the more exposure, the better, you know, and we'll keep on plugging away up here, and hopefully we get to chat some more in the future.
I hope so. Well, Ken, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast today. Everyone, when you get a chance, please check out Ken. And again, we're looking at the Canadian Snowcross Racing Association. Go on YouTube, check out some of the exciting things that's going on there. It's exciting. So again, Ken, thank you so much for joining me today. You take care. Everyone out there, keep the motor oil in motion and stay safe. And we will talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for keeping the motor oil in motion with me. Stay safe. I will see you next time.
You've been listening to Michael's Motor Alley, presented by Pennzoil. Michael's Motor Alley podcast is available for listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just hit the subscribe or follow button to stay up to date on new podcast episodes. This podcast has been produced by Pennzoil, and the views and opinions on this podcast are those of the people featured and not of Shell or its affiliates. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.